From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox in for Ed Gordon. Discrimination at America's polls continues today, says a new study released by the Washington, D.C.-based Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. The report urges President Bush and Congress to reauthorize several provisions of the 1965 Voting Rights Act that are set to expire next year. The National Commission on the Voting Rights Act held 10 public hearings nationwide and gathered testimony from dozens of state and local witnesses. Stories emerged alleging fewer polling stations and shorter hours in minority districts, as well as the illegal purging of names from voter rolls. The study comes at a time of apparent disagreement between state and federal agencies over voting rights enforcement. President Bush has publicly urged reauthorization of the Voting Rights Act, and just yesterday, during a speech at the White House celebrating Black History Month, he reconfirmed his support for the bill.
In the 1960s, many active citizens struggled hard to convince Congress to pass civil rights legislation that ensured the rights of all, including the right to vote. That victory was a milestone in the history of civil rights. Congress must act to renew the Voting Rights Act of 1965.
But the Washington Post recently reported that the Justice Department, which enforces the act, has pursued far fewer voter discrimination cases than in previous years. The Post also reported strong dissent within the department's Civil Rights Division over two controversial decisions, including a Georgia bill requiring voters to present picture IDs before casting their ballots. For more on the commission's finding, we are joined now by Ellen Katz, a professor at the University of Michigan Law School, as well as Barbara Arnwine, executive director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. And we hope to be joined shortly by Charles Ogletree, professor of law and director of the Charles Hamilton Houston Institute for Race and Justice at Harvard University. So Barbara and Ellen, you're with us, right?
Yes, we are.
Yes.
Let's start here, because the act was last revisited in 1982. So what specific provisions of the Voting Rights Act are set to expire, and what is the possible impact, Barbara?
Yes, there are three major sections of the act that are set to expire. One is the Section 5, which is called the preclearance requirement. That is covers about 16 states that has a history of real, actual discrimination and racial discrimination in voting, either by using tests or procedures such as grandfather clauses, et cetera, in the past. It requires that any parts of those states that are covered, and sometimes nine states are covered totally, that they must check, submit to the Justice Department any procedure or change or practice regarding voting, so that the Justice Department can determine whether or not it is discriminatory. The Justice Department has the right to object to these submissions if they feel that they will have a discriminatory impact or will be discriminatory in their intent. Since 1982, the Justice Department has filed more of those objections than ever. Some 626.
Well, let me bring Ellen in to find it. Let's break it down to explain just what the impact of that is. After all, it's been 40 years since the Voting Rights Act was first passed, and I suppose it begs the question how far we have come in protecting every American's right to vote.
Yeah, and I think that's right. I think the 1965 Act is one of the most amazing pieces of legislation that Congress ever passed to recognize just the change in particularly African-American political participation in the South since 1965. And that change was almost immediate. I think the question confronting Congress right now is the extent to which circumstances have changed and in what nature have they changed, whether the remedies and the procedures that were put in back in 1965 are still needed today.
Are they?
Well, I think the commission's report makes a very strong case that they are, that we've come a long way in a lot of respects, but that the problems persist, and the problems persist at a local level, at a state level, and that they remain particularly acute in the jurisdictions that were originally covered by the act.
One of the arguments against renewing the Voting Rights Act has been that There are a number, the highest number, in fact, of black and Latino elected officials in the country at the moment. So, Barbara, my question to you is, how do you respond to that?
Well, if you actually look at the populations and their locations, you will realize that even with the fact that the numbers have increased, which they should have because they were so artificially low due to racial discrimination in the first place, that they're not where they should be. In fact, the African-American elected official rate of 9,000, that number has been pretty consistent now for over, you know, a decade and a half. The Latino and Asian rate is increasing, but still not at the same rate that you would expect. In addition, think about it. Think about the few African-American or Latino or Asian elected officials you can count on your hand who were elected statewide, anywhere.
Well, Ellen, one of the issues that also has been brought up is this idea of the picture ID. Georgia is just one of the states where this is a very controversial point. And with midterm elections coming up, beginning very, very soon, how is this impacted by the law as it is written and the law as it might change if there are provisions of the Voter Rights Act that would be discontinued?
I think the Georgia ID case is an interesting one, particularly since the Justice Department didn't stop that change from being implemented, and there's litigation now going on as to, you know, whether it can be implemented. And I know the Georgia legislature is involved in modifying it and deciding exactly what it's gonna look like. So, in some ways, the case is very salient about the continued need for the act, and actually the continued need for the act in addressing what folks who study this area talk about is first generation issues, sort of access to the ballot as opposed to more complicated districting questions that came after the sort of first order access issues were resolved. The Georgia case highlights the extent to which we're still back at that period or still confronting some of the original problems that prompted the act in the first place.
I understand now that Charles Ogletree has joined us. Charles, I don't know how much of the conversation you have heard, but we've been talking about the Voting Rights Act, obviously, but particularly about the Georgia ID bill. My question for you, though, has to do with it's one thing to have an act in place like the Voting Rights Act. It's quite another, I think, with regard to enforcement of that act. And there's been some conversation about the enforcement or lack thereof within the Justice Department. Can you speak to that?
Oh, absolutely. One of the real challenges that we find 40 years after President Lyndon Johnson talked about the importance of voting rights and talked about the importance of leveling the playing field is that we find our own government ambivalent about how important it is to make sure that every person's vote is counted and every vote matters. And we're seeing this now with cases that you may know are going to be argued before the Supreme Court next week on March 1st, looking at the Tom DeLay issue in Texas and the issue of whether or not there's proportional representation for Democratic and Republican districts, and whether or not Hispanics are able to get a full vote. And so I think it's interesting that career prosecutors were very concerned about our own government's positions, and they were overruled by people who have much more of a political slant. And that tells me that even though people think the vote is secure, that one person, one vote is paramount in our country's issues of priority, it is still in jeopardy. And the battle for the 65 Voting Rights Act, the battle for reauthorization, is as fresh and as deep and as painful and as difficult now as it was 40 years ago when we first took this step forward.
Let me follow up with the three of you on this particular situation. I'm talking now about New Orleans and the fact that there is an election scheduled there for April. And there is some concern that a number of New Orleans residents who obviously have been evacuated to various parts of the country will not be available to vote. And some have called for a cancellation or a postponement of that election. How does this issue with regard to voting rights, how does that play into this particular election, do you think?
Well, Louisiana is one of the states that is covered by the Voting Rights Act statewide. It requires that they must submit any kind of electoral change. So this election clearly will have to be pre-cleared by the Justice Department. And one of our major concerns in the civil rights community is that you have, evacuees from Louisiana in about 34 states of the United States and eight highly concentrated states, Texas, Georgia, Tennessee, et cetera. And what we're seeing is, why can't we do in for this election what was done for Iraq, where we set up throughout the United States off-site voting polls that allowed people to go and vote in person as long as they were able to, you know, identify themselves in a manner that made it clear that they were entitled to vote. And and what's happened right now is that the Louisiana state legislature has not passed such legislation, and FEMA, which funded elections after Hurricane Andrew, after 9/11 in New York, is refusing to give any money to help the state with any reaching out to these volunteers, to these voters, you know, throughout the country. So this is a really serious problem, and we believe that unless the election is set up in a manner that it allows everyone to vote, that the election, you know, should not be held. But we believe that whenever it's held, it has to provide these off-site and other state voting opportunities.
All right, we'll have to.
Tony, can I add something there?
Our time is, you have to make it about 10 seconds.
Oh, no, then I'll hold off.
Unfortunately, it's a subject that we could talk about for a lot longer. We just don't have the time to do so. Let me thank you, though, for being with us. Barbara Arnwine is Executive Director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. Charles Ogletree, Professor of Law and Director of the Charles Hamilton Houston Institute for Race and Justice at Harvard University. And Ellen Katz, Professor at the University of Michigan Law School. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.